Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We might just be in France, but this is global. It's football 2019, and this is its brand new face. Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
What's up? My name is Monkey.
And I'm Heath.
And this is Football Inside Out, a podcast from Copper 90. We're coming to you every day from the Copper 90 clubhouse in Lyon, bringing you all the excitement from the 2019 Women's World Cup in France. You can find us at Bar Super 5, screening all the remaining games.
And hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And on today's episode, we have an interview with Spanish footballer Vero Boquete, who's not playing this year at the tournament, but is here to promote the game and work with the pledge-based charitable movement called Common Goal. But first, here are the five things you need to know going into your day.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Number one, the Netherlands will face off against the United States in the final of the 2019 Women's World Cup. Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. Is it the first Women's World Cup final? I think so. What? You have to fact check me on that.
That it's the first ever Women's World Cup final?
No, the first one for the Netherlands.
Oh, yes. I believe that is true. Yeah. Which is crazy. Again,
your
European
girl.
Euro winners, you know.
Your girl, Viv.
I don't know if you've heard of this player. Viv Miedema. No, it's... I believe it's their first one. And they grinded out a result.
Yeah, they did. They scored a goal in extra time. I think everyone's quite surprised about this matchup in the final.
Yeah.
It's definitely not one that we predicted.
No, and again, Holland remind me a little bit in this tournament of what Portugal was in the Euros, where they just, and the men's Euros, where they just sort of like kept advancing.
Going along.
Yeah, getting a little bit better, but never actually at any point had like a great performance where you're just like, okay, they're here, but now they're in a final.
That's when Ronaldo came a sort of sideline coach for most of the game.
Yeah, that was when the guy, what's his name? Martins or whatever, that went to Bayern Munich was like the best player in the tournament. We haven't seen him since.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Number two. I got something in my throat. Number two, England's defeat to the United States became the most watched TV program of the year.
Wow.
Excuse me.
You almost can't believe it.
Huh? I can't believe it.
And cough that out.
11.7 million, roughly 50.8% of the available audience watched that game.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Very cool.
I hope that it's not just like a wave because it's awareness first, but then that people were like left, even if that was their first match of the tournament, saying, this is amazing. I want more.
Like, also, the Euros is in the UK next year.
Yeah.
So that's great news for us.
Partially in the UK. It's around everywhere.
Yeah, it's actually shared.
But the final is in Wembley.
Is at Wembley. Yeah. Only people to go in for that, but whatever, we still want. I'll take it.
Fair. And number three.
Yes. So number three is Visa's player of the match.
Jackie Gronin. Yeah. I mean, it's fair. I would have given it to
the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Me too.
Either of the goalkeepers had quite a few big saves. Mm. And probably those two made the match the most exciting. There wasn't any like spectacular performances from anybody, but she scored the match winner in semifinals of a World Cup. The least you can do is give her player of the match.
Can you spell the goalkeeper's name for us?
Yes. V-A-A-N-E-N-D. No. No. Yeah, yeah, D-A-A-L.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I can spell.
Practically Dutch.
Smarter than a fifth grader. Number four, in other news, Brazil are on to the Copa America finals after beating Lionel Messi's Argentina 2-0. It's now been 11 years since the trophy for Messi in Argentina. His only success was being in the Olympic gold medalist in 2008.
I literally don't even remember that.
Yeah. And like men's Olympics is a joke. Like,
why?
It's not serious. Because you can only have like, all the players have to be under 23, and then you can have three overage players where it's different than the women's, which is basically their full national team. So much more exciting.
Why is that a thing?
I don't know. It's a really weird thing, but it's kind of not a serious thing. So, I mean, if Messi wants to take that as a trophy, fine.
You know, this is only one.
I'm not counting it. And finally, number five.
Yes.
Mexico will attempt to win their 11th CONCACAF Gold Cup. They got through on a controversial penalty in extra time against Haiti.
Have you watched it? Have you watched it back?
I watched the penalty, yeah.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Okay, explain to me what happened then. I haven't seen it.
Basically sticks his leg out and there is a little bit of minimal contact. His like leg is up in the air. Somebody kind of goes through it, but it's like one where you're like, if you are a ref and you have touch and feel for the game, there's no VAR.
Right. That was what I was going to ask. If there was VAR,
they'd call that off for sure.
Right.
But again, it's like one of those things where it wasn't quite as clumsy as some of the like challenges we've seen in this tournament, that were controversial penalties. So it was like far less controversial because there's just minimal contact. It didn't make somebody fall down.
First time, to be fair, that's the first time this has happened.
Should we just hold this the rest of the time?
And that's the five things you need to know going into your day.
This is Copper 90.
So, Monkey, how you doing? Sleeping?
Good.
You sleeping well still? We're nearly 30 days into this whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like my sleep's progressively got worse, but the heat's got progressively hotter.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
Oddly enough, I am staying in a ground floor apartment, so I have to close the windows at night. Otherwise, people will come in and join me.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of that. I mean, I'm sure if people need a place to sleep, just let me know. Don't climb into the windows. So even though the temperature has been going down, I've been sleeping horribly, like sweating profusely every single night.
I mean, dude, it's still like 33 degrees today. So we say it's going down.
Everything says that, like at night I'm seeing these like real time feels like is like low, but there seems to be no wind and it's not making anything better.
I have these weird, like, I think they're like sparrows or something.
What are you doing with you're pointing up the sky right now.
I was about to do an action.
Yeah, okay.
Outside my window, there's this like group of birds and they fly around in circles.
A flock. Is that what it is? Is it a flock of birds? Do we know?
Flock, yeah.
It's a flock. Yeah, we'll call it a flock.
A group, yeah. And a team of birds.
Yeah.
11. There's 11 of them.
Unless it's a basketball team.
Yeah.
Then it'd be five.
And they keep like flying past my window, which is obviously open because it's really hot.
Yeah.
And they're really loud. And I don't know why, but they just keep going round and round and round before sunset and really early in the morning when the sun comes up.
Like squawking.
That's squawking, but doing some sort of like dance routine at the same time. And it's actually quite pretty to watch, but at the same time, after like a few days, you're like, shut up.
Yeah, I've been, what time have you been going to sleep at typically? Like on the non-nights out around 2, is that safe? Are you going to sleep before that?
No, before that.
Okay.
Yeah, before that. Well, we went to game the other day. We didn't get home till like 1:30.
Yeah.
In the morning.
That was confusing for me. It was hard for me to fall asleep that night.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to sleep by like 1. It was easier in Paris because the clubhouse closed at 11.
Yeah.
As soon as the matches end, we would do our recording and be done. And I'd have some sort of time to like cool off and go to sleep and have a decent routine. Here, like
I've had no routine here.
Yeah.
But it's kind of been fun.
Yeah, it's been great. It's like one of those things, you know, that it's like the sort of seize the day. Carpe diem, is that French? Latin?
Latin, maybe.
Does French have any sort of Latin roots? Yeah.
It's a love language, right?
Just learned something. Just taught you all something. No, but like you're getting to the end and you're like, oh, wow, my time in France is almost done. I should enjoy it more instead of it being more focused on work and then routine and like surviving. And it's not as hot anymore, but I'm just kind of torn between it. So it's like these nights are coming and I'm like, only a few days left.
Yeah, I went out to this. Well, we went out actually to this. First, it was like a wine bar, and then the rest of the guys and girls went out, and I was like, okay, I'll come for one water. I went for a water, but this place.
Were you having water?
In the second place, I wasn't drinking. Yeah, it was bizarre. This place was so strange. Like, we got there. Oh, well, first of all, the bar that was shutting, we asked, "Is there anywhere open?" And they were like, "There's an establishment down the road," and I was like, I have no idea what that means.
That sounds
terrifying.
Well, you have to trust them because it might be a lack of English that's making them say
that's what I'm thinking.
It's an establishment.
Anyway, it was a bizarre place. So we went down there. There was an old man stood by the door and we were like, "Are you open for drinks?" And he was like, and just kind of like let us in. And there was, it was like an old theatre, but with no stage, just like the seats and like a bit above as well. And then underneath that, a bar. And we were kind of like waiting for the bar guy. But then the old guy just stepped behind the bar and served everyone. It was so odd. I felt like I was in a film or something.
He wears many hats at that bar. He might be a performer as well.
Maybe. I was waiting for him to get on there.
But nothing like... But there was people there?
Yeah, it was full. It was absolutely full.
Wow.
Yeah. But when I say full, you could only fit like 20 people in there.
What I found that I've gotten too attached to is the electric scooters happening in France.
I still haven't done one.
That it becomes like my way home every time that I'm out late. It's just like, oh, I'll just hop on a scooter. Well, that night that I met you, I got on one scooter, unlocked it, tried to ride on, wouldn't like activate. And like, I don't want a push scooter. And they're already heavy. So like it's like dragging. So then I get off that, get another one, hit like the 1-star review. Like then they say, we've refunded you your money. Get on another one. The same thing happens. Three of them. Fourth, like, and then I'm just like, I might as well walk. And it was a bit of a ways. And then finally get on the fourth one and it activates. And I was just like, oh, this is amazing. But it's weird to know that like now, especially here, because ride sharing apps have been really complicated here. Like you wait a long time. Like this is truly the French place where like no one's in a hurry, where they're just,
you mean
like
taxi apps?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They take ages.
Like you just wait. Like even when we arrived in Lyon, it was like 30 minutes for me in the blistering heat.
What did you think about getting back from the Olympic Lyon stadium? I thought it was quite difficult.
Yeah. So they were holding people in the stadiums for like crowd control because there was only so many trains coming to the end or trams coming to the entrance. And you can only get so many people in and out at the same time. So you're holding people at the top of the stadium. And it's like, it's kind of a worrisome thing in France who's had like some issues in this country when you're being held into a spot and there's like a giant gap between you and the next people. You're like, why am I being held here? Something's not right.
Yeah.
And no one's saying anything. You're just being held. And then when you get towards the front, you're sort of like, okay, I get what's happening. It's a crowd control thing. But it wasn't a very easy thing. That's one of the main things I would compare between this World Cup and last summer in Russia is that it was just so much easier to get around. People with these giant foam hands were just like
pointing you in the right
direction. Yeah, like those advertisers outside of like a thing. Just
like throwing them in the air.
Like
twisting them.
And it was like a big thing that's like they give high fives with these things, which is like they were all friendly and happy, which is fine. But like we don't need the high fives. But you always knew where you were going. And the roads were wide. And it was just like they made the routes long enough and wide enough that you trusted it. But it also gapped people out. So you weren't just like funneling into something.
Well, the stadium's more in the city though. Because Lyon Stadium is far out of the city.
Not all of them. No. I mean, I guess so. The only stadiums I was in were in Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
But for Lyon, which is what, the third biggest city behind, I think, Marseille and Paris in terms of like population.
I think so.
It is a ways out, but you would think for something like that for people who live, I guess it is a series of suburbs though. France is like becomes rural very quickly as soon as you're outside the inner skirts. So
were going to the wrong place. We were in the car because it turned into like farmland, and I was like, I think we might be in the wrong place.
Oh, we were. We caught a ride to the match, and just the guy was like, for this much, I'll take you. And we got in. It was like 17 minutes. And we were like, that can't be right because the reason we're using you is because every other transportation route was like 45 to an hour.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I have it in. And then he wrote the actual name of the stadium in, which is like Groupama or something like that, and put it in and updated to like 45 minutes.
Ah, yeah. Sick stadium, though.
Yeah, really, really, really
cool,
sick.
Really cool stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah. PSG one was cool as well. I felt like the PSG stadium was, I think it's 45,000 capacity, but it felt small. Like it felt small for a big stadium.
Paris is smaller than
Lyon, yeah.
Lyon?
I think so.
And I think they're both smaller than the Velodrome in Marseille.
I don't know.
You ever been to that one?
No, never.
There's some sick stadiums in France.
Yeah.
I do wish that I would have gotten to some of the... You didn't go to any of the games out of town, did you?
No, I'm trying to think. This is actually the first time I've ever gone to a stadium in France.
I say out of town, like from where
outside
Paris. Outside of Paris.
Yeah, no,
Yeah, because some of those are smaller stadiums, but those are usually pretty cool and fun atmospheres too. Smaller stadiums when you can pack them in.
What's like the best stadium you've played in?
Oh man, Wembley for sure.
Oh yeah,
Wembley's. Definitely. It was new Wembley and it just opened.
I was about to say, was it new Wembley or old Wembley?
Yeah, I wish it was old Wembley. But I'm trying to think if there's any other ones that I really... I can't think of any... There's ones that were better atmospheres in terms of national team matches. Oh, no. I mean, Dortmund was sick. Playing away at Allianz against Bayern Munich, also at the club level, played at the Allianz Arena. I mean, not Allianz, but with the yellow wall against Dortmund, that was one. Played also with the national team at that stadium, which was really cool. It's a little bit smaller capacity, but that was the first time in my career where I just like couldn't hear anything.
When you played Dortmund?
Yeah. No, when I played with the national team against Germany before the 2006 World Cup. And it was just such a loud buzz because I'd been playing in small stadiums in Denmark, and occasionally you played against a Copenhagen or a Brøndby that had like a big stadium.
Yeah.
And you could feel like that energy. But this was like the first time I was just like, I am all alone out here. Whoever I was yelling at couldn't hear me. Like I just gained a new appreciation for the people that play like Champions League and big clubs week in, week out, where it's so loud in those stadiums sometimes that you can't communicate. Like all the things that I had as like skill sets of being a good communicator didn't mean anything because no one could hear me communicating with them.
It's a completely different game, isn't it, when you're playing in front of that many people?
You just have to be so much better with your eyes. So for example, there was all these things that you would learn in training of like, As you're checking to the ball, no matter where you are, you should have a look over your shoulder when the ball's coming to know what's around you, right? It's just this constant awareness. And you have to be so much better with that, because when you play in smaller stadiums, you can go to the ball and be lazy and someone can be like, turn or man on or whatever they're going to say. And you can hear that and it helps you. But in a stadium where someone's feeding you the ball and the game is happening faster and there's less space and there's smarter players, you have to have so much more spatial awareness around you to sort of react, to be able to play at that level, right? You don't always have like the crutch of being able to communicate, which just makes you appreciate it more.
Yeah, there's always like teams as well, like historically good teams that have said in interviews like a partnership between like a striker and a number 10 or like two centre-backs, they just know where one another is going to be without even having to look up. So like when Bergkamp was passing to Thierry, like he wasn't even looking, he just knew where he'd be and he put the ball in that space. And if he put the ball in that space and Thierry wasn't there, I think I heard him say, then he should be there or something like that.
Yeah.
But they just like, it's like a sixth sense in the end, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the end.
Viv Miedema, and I know I bring her up every episode.
You love Viv Miedema.
Keep this. This is like,
are we sponsored by
this? This is like Snapchat when they say streaks and you don't know why people do that. I'm just keeping this streak alive. This is like a 10-day streak that I'm on right now. But I can't understand Dutch, but I think I could. So when she won player of the match and I listened to the interview, something about it was saying that like she had done that in training over and over again. So and a lot of the girls that we've talked to, just in terms of like goal scorers especially, are just reps. Like you do it enough times that it happens naturally on the field and you don't have to think about how you're going to finish or when you finish. It's just that those constant reps on the training pitch, and I know it's stereotypical, but like or cliche, I guess. Mm-hmm. But there is something to that, especially for strikers that are always like more streaky than other players, which are more about consistency. It's more about like that peaking or whatever. They just want to be like, when they're in form. So
I'm still gutted about the England game, man. I'm still in a somber mood.
Do you think England deserve to win that? I'm a journalist. I ask the hard hitting questions.
It's a hard answer. It's a hard question to answer because, I mean, to be honest, I haven't watched any of the highlights back. I only watched it from being at the stadium, but we just didn't put away our chances. So, no.
I've got a confession to make from that game. I was tasked by our social team to do social coverage.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that. When moments are happening, you're not living in those moments. You're getting ready for those moments to capture them. And I missed two of the goals in real time.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, because like fumbling, like my phone battery's dying. And if you keep it on the battery, it burns your hand. It's so hot. And so like you're getting ready to sort of like capture the people behind you because you can't really record anything on the field. And I missed two of them. Yeah. In real time, I'm like.
So did you watch it back on your phone?
I watched it back on my phone. I watched it on the replays, but it's just again one of those things that was hard at times because you're like, any other game, I'd be fine because you're just like there for that. But when the US is playing against England, you just want to be like, my phone died.
No, I think we could have won the game, but if we deserve to win, I'm not sure we should have. We should have put those chances away. So I don't. I could be biased and be like, yes, we did. I mean, it was a really good match. Like the matchup was amazing. I would have liked to have seen that match in the final.
Yeah, that's one I would have liked in a final too. How do you think that you bounce back?
Well, they have another game to play.
But like, they've also just lost their opportunity to go
play
to
in the final.
Final.
Yeah.
And they have another game to play, but it's just mentally, you've come this far. You were so close. It wasn't for lack of opportunities. It wasn't like the U.S. played them off the pitch, you know, and you're just like, well, the better team won, even though I think the, what's his name? The coach was said that the better team.
Neville?
No, you know what? It wasn't him. It was Piers Morgan who said that.
Screw that guy. Why are you even listening to what that guy has to say?
Because I went onto his Twitter today because I wanted to troll him.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, when he was saying the things about like denting the whatever. And there was also like something in the Daily Mail that was saying like the US are hated by everyone, that even the French will be rooting for England. I'm just like, oh yeah, hate. That's the way to rally people against someone. It's just like driven through hate. But I went on there and then I just like got distracted from going to troll him and just was scrolling and he'd said that. So yeah, it wasn't the coach that said that.
They've bounced back before because they've had to play a third place game before and they beat Germany to come third. So it's not like they haven't been in that position before. And so they know what to do. And I think I don't know. It's such a hard thing to come to terms with. I can't even imagine coming to terms with it personally.
Right.
But even as a fan, I'm just like, you just have to move on now.
Well,
I know it's going to linger. It's definitely going to linger for a long time, isn't it?
Someone who has found a way with winning and losing to basically win trophies everywhere she's gone.
Yeah.
We have a feature with that's Vera Bouquet, who's here in a common goal, has like a chateau or something.
She has a chateau.
Yeah. It's the first time that I've actually been in a place where they say chateau and I actually think that it might exist instead of me using that in the sense of like, when are you going to your family's chateau?
Yeah.
But it's not a real thing. But yeah, she's staying there and you had a chance to have a conversation with her and here it is.
Hashtag Copper 90 icons.
I'm Vera Bouquet, a former Spanish national team player, and right now I'm playing in US for the Utah Royals, and I'm also here for two different reasons. One is because I'm in the program of FIFA Legends, and for the other side I'm also part of the Common Goal movement. So my role in the World Cup is a little to promote the World Cup during the months before we have this FIFA Legends programs where we did some events and some media stuff. Also, we were traveling a little with the trophy tour, so promoting in every country like the World Cup. And now it's gonna be a little the same during this week, be ready to promote the games, to be at the stadium and any event that is going on in Lyon, just be here for that. I think that the whole tournament, all the journey is being just fantastic. We knew before the World Cup this will be like the biggest Women's World Cup, and right now we can say that is true. Like the stadiums were with great atmospheres, the level of the games were like really, really high. And I think that everyone is enjoying it, and is enjoying it here in France, but also in all the different countries, because like the media is really giving the space to women's football. So I think everyone should be happy for that. And now it's the end of the tournament, the most excited games, and we'll see how it's going. I think the biggest surprise for me maybe was Italy. I put Italy in my bracket. So before the World Cup, I was saying, like, I think Italy has a chance to do a good and long World Cup. And I think they make it until where actually is them level. So quarterfinals, I think, is fantastic for Italy. And it shows how important it is to have a national league getting professional and with better conditions, because then the level of the players is better. And yeah, they for sure they are the big surprise in this World Cup. After this World Cup, I think women's football have to grow next to the the football clubs, and that is happening in Europe especially, and I can also talk about Spain, where all the main clubs have now a woman team. Just last week Real Madrid say also they're gonna have it, and I think that is together is how this game is gonna grow. And yeah, in Europe we can see now Italy also with Juventus, with Milan, with Rome, in England with Manchester City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United also this year, and yeah, France exactly the same, Lyon same club, PSG same club. I think that is how the game is gonna grow, and we have to keep pushing, of course, but we are in the right way, and now after this World Cup we will have more people engaged with women's football, and we have to use that to really keep growing. So Common Goal is a movement that starts in football, from the footballers, and that is the first thing that made me think, like, okay, this is something that is coming from us, men and women football players, and we are together on that because we believe in the power of football to change life, and in different countries, different situations, and we donate 1% of our salaries to the social cause, and we can choose in which country or with which program we can we want to help. I'm happy to support a program in Santa Lucia, in a really small Caribbean island, and yeah, like right now we are more than 100, and the team is growing, and I think it's just fantastic. And the main goal at the end is like the 1% of all the football industry, like all the money that it can be in football, is just for the social side. So I think it's just something fantastic, and it's the way we have to give something back to the sport that gave us everything.
Hashtag Copper90 Icons. So
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You swung by the clubhouse the other day.
Yeah.
And told me a bit more about the Common Goal charitable work she's doing. I knew vaguely what it was about before, but not very well, but it sounds really cool.
Do you actively participate in any charities?
Charities? Yes. I sponsor a dog to go through school to help a blind person.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, I've sponsored 3 dogs so far.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of training, right? They got to go through.
Yeah, it's like a couple of years. So I've been doing it for like years.
That's amazing. Yeah. So 3 dogs so far.
3 dogs so far. One of my dogs didn't make it. They were too excitable. And now...
Oh, so there's like a pass-fail. You pay for a pass-fail and then they just become a dog, like a dog.
Yeah, like you just become a normal dog.
When dogs don't work out in the professional industries, they just become dogs.
Yeah, yeah. You get updates. You're like, she or he has passed her first test, the second test. And then one dog, I think it was a puppy boy.
Do you find it weird when animals have social media accounts and they have a voice and they have their own like copy that, I mean,
what do you mean?
Like a dog, right? Yeah. Say your dog was named Juniper and Juniper had a social media account with a large following and Juniper would have things that he or she would say.
And then they like write it.
It'd be like, yeah, yes. Like today's the best day of my life. And you're like, is it though?
Juniper doesn't care.
Because you have a collar on and all dogs should be free. You shouldn't have a collar
on. I saw you say that to a dog.
I said that to the dog yesterday.
Yeah, there was a dog. We were sat down and a dog came over.
This is a friend of mine's sort of bit and it's his thing. But he's like, in his neighborhood, he lives up in Vermont, that they take all the collars off the dogs and they're neighborhood dogs and they just live and they come and they go as they please because who are you to tell a dog where they should live? You know, it's like a joking thing, but it's also a serious thing to him where he's just like, well, who are you to say that you own that dog? Did you ask the dog? So in the neighborhood, his dog lives at his house, but he doesn't wear a collar. And sometimes he doesn't come back. And then he comes back when he's ready.
Really?
Like he comes, like he lives there whenever he wants. It's his choice.
I have a pet, little house rabbit and he has Instagram, but I don't really use it that much.
But do you caption it?
I mean, I caption it, but not in his voice.
Yeah.
I'm not like... This is my, it's my birthday today, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not as Henri, Henry.
No.
Is it Henry or Henri?
His name's Thierry. The rabbit's name is Thierry.
Oh, after that makes
obvious
more sense
reasons.
Now. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't do that.
Are you feeling warm in that shirt today?
I'm feeling extremely warm in this shirt, but it has cooled down today, so I thought I'd give it a crack.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's one of the ones that I stole off you. Yeah. I didn't actually steal it off you.
You drafted it.
We drafted it, yeah.
It's a nice one.
It fits well.
I took some pictures in that one. It's really, really nice. Question though,
you can buy it.
Do you, when you shop and you get something, do you ever get that anxiety of like, it's new, so I don't want to wear it? Cause I go through phases where I'm like, if it's something nice, I'll buy it. And then it'll go into the closet. Cause I'll be like, not the right time for it.
Yeah.
Not the right
no.
time. And
yeah,
then it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
2 years later, you're like, I guess the time never really came and somebody's getting a new shirt.
Yeah. I guess I've only done that a couple of times with like, it's never sat in the wardrobe for like more than like a month.
Well, like Ethan bought stuff in Ethan
Paris.
Is our photographer, former footballer, yep. bought stuff in Paris at this like release of a thing called Paperboy and Beams.
Yeah.
And it was like a really exclusive release. But the next day he was wearing it and I was like, you have so much courage. Like you bought something, you spent a lot of money on it and then you wore it the next day. Like in theory, that's the purpose.
Yeah.
But I have huge trouble doing that.
Ethan gave me stick the other day.
Why?
He's a pretty low-key guy. He's like a cool dude. He's pretty chill.
Yeah. Oh, just get one compliment is enough.
Okay, sorry.
Let's not build him up into being... Someone's going
to
meet him and they're going
to
be like, ah, he was all right.
Do you want me to throw one in there for you?
Yeah.
I was wearing like an old, I think, 96 England top. And he walked past and he went... he was like, cool shirt, bro. And then as he turned his back and carried on walking, he just went... Shame you're going to lose.
He was the first one that was walking around saying, I mean, you have to go. It's England's last game.
Yeah,
he was saying that to people like constantly. It's like, wait, you're not going to go to their last game? Even though it's not technically true, it was just kept like, he kept doing that. I was like, Ethan, like he is a chill guy. I didn't think he had that in him to like start like.
No, he does.
Stick to
well, he's an ex-athlete as well, so he's got to have the prod.
Yeah.
Also wore a New York City soccer t-shirt around you. Which
NYCFC.
You weren't too pleased about.
I wasn't pleased about it, but out of respect for Ethan, it makes sense.
Yeah. I said to Ethan, I was like, I went to a game. I went to a New York City versus Red Bulls game, like a derby.
Yeah.
But it was like one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. It was years and years ago. And I was like, were you playing? And he was
so
like,
you've been traveling for years is what you're saying. You've been on the road.
I was like, were you playing in that game? And he was like, I might have been. And I was like, you lost 7-1. And he was like, no, that wasn't me playing in that game.
Okay. That was a rough day for NYCFC. But yeah, I don't know if he represents DC United more or NYCFC. Probably DC because that's
DC,
where he's
right?
from. Yeah, he spent more of his time there. But yeah, he was full of bants over the last few days around the England US.
Because you guys are winning.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, by the way, if you do like my top, you can get it.
store.copa90.com. Not that hard to remember. So if I see you hitting me up going, what's the site again? Just add store.
Do you want to do some day in numbers now?
Yeah.
And we can talk about those. Actually, I was going to mention before though, which I did shout at you earlier, but I don't know if you heard. Thailand, let me get this up right. So obviously Thailand lost to the States.
Yeah, it was 13-0. If anybody wasn't watching the World Cup.
If you were under a rock somewhere.
It was actually the first controversial bit that's carried a lot of momentum, like media and news momentum, into the final, which is that the U.S. made like a lot of controversy in that match. You know, some people for, some people against.
We spoke about it a lot.
Yeah.
And especially with guests as well. Yeah. Everyone had a lot to say. But Thailand went the longest before conceding a goal of all the teams facing the USA.
That's true.
Yeah, apparently.
Heroes. Like in theory, like that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
it withstood. I mean, when it rains, it pours.
It really did rain.
Yeah, but that's a cool little fun fact.
I don't know what the longest. I think it was still under 12 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Jeez, like if you're a coach, you're like, just get 12 minutes. If you get to 12 minutes,
please.
And then he's just looking at their watch, just going like 11:30, 11:31, 11:30. Damn it!
If you get to 30 minutes, it's plain sailing from there.
Yeah,
you'll be easy. Fine. I can't remember what was the first goal against England. Must have been under 12 minutes then.
Yeah,
I've got the facts completely wrong,
definitely was
under 12 10
minutes.
Minutes. 10
minutes.
10 minutes.
Somewhere around the 10th minute. Yeah, I thought it was gonna not to talk too rain. Much about that game. But I thought it was gonna rain goals at that point
from the US.
Yeah.
No, I was.
It was just too easy of a goal that I was just like, wow.
Yeah. I was explaining earlier, I was sat five rows from the front behind the goal where that goal was scored in the north stand. And it's so hard to see what is going on in the game when you're in that position behind the goal.
The end zone, yeah.
Yeah, you can't see. When anything happens on the other side of the pitch or even in the middle, You can't tell how far people are.
You didn't pack your binoculars.
I did not know.
Yeah, no, that's a tough one. Our original seats in Paris for a match were in the corner, and then they double booked them, so people were like sitting in them casually. I was like, "You're a bunch of cheaters!
Yeah,
you all stole those tickets." I don't know. Actually, maybe we stole the tickets.
We were like,
I'm not
pointing
sure.
At families.
But then they put us in a better section. It was actually had a better view because one of them was, I think, more behind the goal, which just makes it a really deep...
And high up,
yeah.
Too. I think those are the best seats we had the whole tournament when we got moved. You know what they did?
No, yesterday's ticket. I mean,
are you a
US
fan?
The US. No, we were real. We were only like a few rows. Like there's maybe 10 rows below us. We were in like the second tier in the US England game, but we went down for the second half. So we were in hospitality.
Yeah.
Went and ate the food, drank the drink. Watched a half out of obligation, tipped our hat, thanked everybody for their hospitality, took the drinks down to all the common folk where all the action was happening, where all the people were passionate who've traveled all over the world and wouldn't miss that opportunity. And that was actually the view of the field was amazing. So we were right behind where the ref ran in for the VAR.
Bar.
And just disappeared. We couldn't see her.
I picked up my tickets from a pub, which is probably the most British place you can pick up England tickets. but
where would be a place that everyone would know how to find in England if you're buying them through the FA, right?
Yeah.
Like FA
I've
got an idea. Someone probably got a promotion for that. Just put it in a pub.
Just put it in a pub. Yeah. But it was great because then all the England fans came and they stuck around and banged on drums and drank.
That's actually really smart, clever play.
It was good. And then all those people that you met, because they all picked up tickets from the same place, you all sat next to each other.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey.
Lifelong friends.
Yeah, it was cool. And a couple people were like, I liked your video for Kira Walsh. And I was like, oh, thanks. That was really nice to meet fans. Actually, I heard a hilarious overheard thing that day.
Really?
So I went for lunch down the road. I was sat next to a table full of US fans. And one lady had a US shirt on. And she goes, oh, I really want to trade my US shirt with an England fan for an England shirt. Like they're doing games, obviously. Mm-hmm. And someone goes, well, how are you going to do that? And she was like, I don't know. I'll just find someone kind of my size and hopefully they'll be up for it. And then one of her friends piped up. So they're all American and goes, well, you just offer them a beer. I'm pretty sure they'll take it for that. I was like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, to be honest.
we had some hits in on the audio.
We had a sign fall down again.
We had some hits on the audio podcast, at least of people outside the matches, and there was a few Americans, and I was worried, like, do not poorly represent us. and say something stupid. But everyone was just like, at least the responses we had from fans was like very up to par. So I'm wondering
if she got the shirt.
If the game is growing in a way that people actually know the rules.
What do you mean if they know the rules?
No, not the rules, but like speaking eloquently about football takes some time, right?
Yeah.
And that's sort of like the basis of Overheard is being able to be like, there's a great soccer kick, just booted it up the field.
I tell you what though, I did hear another Overheard thing on the tram, right? Yeah. And it was like an older guy and he was talking about Lucy Bronze. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he was from in the States. He was talking about Lucy Bronze and she goes... I think one of his kids said, "Oh, Lucy Bronze is really good. I really like Lucy Bronze." And he goes, "Yeah, but she plays in a position where she can show off."
That is something.
What does that
you mean,
even
on
mean?
On the field?
Yeah, you know, what like, does that mean?
She like, plays. She's not she on the plays? Bench. Yeah.
Also, she's like a right back. It's not a traditionally sort of showing off position. She's just
like
really good.
Like Marcelo is one of the few that gets to like not play defense and start at the half line. That's a position you get to show off. But everybody else, all of us other people have to play defense.
Next time I play right back, I'm just going to like, you know, start doing cartwheels and stuff.
Stop showing off. Do you have two more numbers?
I have some numbers. I didn't even get around to the numbers. We just got chatting. Okay, number 12.
Okay. 12 is...
Oh, we have already kind of spoke about this. So there's a clue there.
Yeah.
Just now.
So there would be 12 teams that were eliminated from the round of 16.
Stop
when you
it.
Get to the semifinals.
That's right.
Okay.
The USA have scored before the 12th minute in every match of this World Cup so far.
Gee, that's serious.
Boo. Number one.
Number one is whoever wins the World Cup will be crowned...
Number one. If you're not first... You're last. Alex Morgan is the first player ever to score a Women's World Cup goal on her birthday.
That's crazy. A little bit of this.
A little bit of this.
A little bit of that. Nice little tea.
Oh, it's like...
Yeah.
It was good banter, but I was kind of...
We have to wrap up soon. But before that, it is some nerve to celebrate like that in a match when it's like... You score that fourth goal and you want to do that? Like, really put your foot on their throats and be like, it's over for you? Fine. But when the game is that tight, like, that penalty gets scored, they could be out.
You look like
and
a
then
fool.
She's on the cover of something doing the tea.
The tea celebration. No, whatever. So, like, I get it. It's football, isn't it?
It is.
Just antagonizing the.
But that's like, been the theme of the US team. Like, now they have to win. Otherwise, you're like, the whole world's like,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, God. If you guys lose, you're going to get it.
And that's it. That's all we got time
for. Okay, I'll leave that number
for
tomorrow.
Oh, there's another one. Yeah, save it. That's another episode of Football Inside Out. We have a new episode coming out tomorrow, but make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. And head to our... I'm doing all this off the cuff.
Freestyle.
Head to our website to make sure you're on our daily newsletter at COVID90.com/WC19 and click or tap the
button.
France Daily to sign up.
And leave us a review as well. And could you tweet us? That would be nice.
Yeah.
Hashtag Copa90 Inside Out. And what's the email address, guys? Can't remember off the side of my head.
Football Inside Out at Copa90.com.
See you tomorrow.
All right. Bye.
This is a We Are Great production for Copa90.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.